I'm gonna sit here and try to enjoy
the No, no, I don't think so.
All right. So right now it's on 1 minute. Hope everyone's doing well. Second week, second almost full week of quarantine. Just 1 second. All right, and here we go. All right. So, okay. So, it's what, the second? Okay, so it's 12:30. Let me start. I apologize a little bit for a few of those that have been attending my Parsha Vayikra shiur. It's going to be a short repeat, but I feel it's such an important message, especially in the times we're living in, that I think it's important for me to repeat it. I'll be a little more elaborate now. Before we get to the main part of the shiur, the obvious question people ask when it comes to this Parsha is the question of the question that comes up is, what is the point of Karbanot? And I would just point out that it sounds to be like a very difficult question, which, you know, there's no question it is a difficult question, but, you know, it's not as simple as we think it is. Why? Because what makes it difficult is because we ourselves don't understand what Karbanot are about. And we ourselves might think, oh my gosh, it doesn't make any sense. It's so non-rational. You know, how can we even do it? So as I always say, if you would go ahead and try to explain to someone who's not Jewish, doesn't understand why we wear tefillin, he would also say, what's the point? What is the point of tefillin? However, what happens is we can go ahead sometimes and we can actually explain why it is that we don't understand why we wear tefillin, because tefillin is something we do every day, so we don't feel strange putting on tefillin. So I'm sure when the base of Middash is built, should be the Meher B'Yameinu, we're going to go ahead and we're going to it might be exciting at first, it might be strange at first, and then once we start doing it, okay, that's what we do. So, you know, it's not as weird as we think it is. It's just, this is one of the mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dimachim Karbanot. That is in terms of the reason why we are makrev Karbanot. It's not, we shouldn't think of it strange as what we as strange we feel as is right now, because in the future it will become something that we do, like we're in tefillin or whatever else we do, which maybe non-Jews think is strange. All right. But with that being said, there's a very famous machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban, which I'm not going to really elaborate about now, but just very quickly, the Rambam says very famously the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and enacted Karbanot was in order to sort of keep the Jews away from the Avodah Zarah. Because the Avodah Zarah, the pagans, they were mocking Karbanot. So in order to make sure that we stay within the fold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to go ahead and give us Karbanot so we shouldn't be attracted to the service of the pagans. Okay? And Ramban takes the Rambam to task for this. And he says, how can that be? Look, all the Avos were mocking Karbanot. Noach was mocking Korban. So it can't be just because we want to distance everyone from the place of the Avodah Zarah, because it could be in those, those days they didn't have that problem. There must be something much deeper there. And the Rabban goes through, he you'll look at the first parak, he goes through a whole explanation, which everyone knows, that the point of the korbanos, when a person sees his korban on this altar, he used to think, well, this is me, this is what I deserve, and this will hopefully really, you know, and then he'll learn to use his body for mitzvot to bring the person back to tshuva. The Meshech Chochma, in source number one, I'm not going to read the Meshech Chochma inside, you can read it, but in the Sakdama to say by Yikra, the Meshech Chochma points out that the reason that you can't just say, according to the Rambam, that the only reason is because we're going to go ahead and the reason for Karbanos is that we should not be pushed or influenced to go after the pagans. We can't say that. Why can't we say that? Very simply, because if you look at the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah speaks about the Beis Hamikdash being rebuilt, and we aspire to the fact that Karbanos will be coming again, and the Rambam, the way he speaks in the Yad HaChazakah, really speaks about Karbanos as being something very lofty, something very high, a great aspiration. So it's too simplistic to say that the whole reason for Karbanos is to keep us away from the Batei Avodah Zarah. However, the Meshech Chochma says like this: we know there was a certain time that Am Yisrael was makriv on the Bamos. And what does it mean on the Bamos? At a time when there was no Mishkan, before the Beis Hamikdash was built, so the Jewish people were, there was a Bama Gedola, a central Mizbeach for everybody, and the Jewish people were allowed to also be makriv in their own private Mizbeachos. Okay? And the truth is, the question is why? Why couldn't we just use one central Mizbeach back in those days also? So the Meshech Chochma points out, that's what the Rambam means. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed everyone to have the own private Mizbeach, in between the time when there was no Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, why were they allowed to have what's called Bamot Kitanot, small Bamot? That was at the time when they were, that was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to keep them away from the pagan houses, the houses of pagan worship. Because that was, at that time, that was necessary. But once it was a Beis HaMikdash, he says, Chas v'sholom, to say that the only reason for Karbanos was to keep people away from the pagan houses of worship. The Karbanos are supposed to push people to have very strong and aspirations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu in the parasha, Nikra Shel Moshe, you want to come close to me? I'm calling you. And how the rest of Am Yisrael to come close to me? Through the Karbanos. You might not understand how the Karbanos work. But to go ahead and to say simply, oh, it's just to keep away from the Avodah Zarah, that's too simplistic, the Meshech Chochma says. So he says, that was only when we had to make a concession to Am Yisrael, that they would be allowed to go ahead, and they would be allowed to Machar Rabbanos and the Bamos Ketanot. That was a concession. We have a Beis HaMikdash, we will have a Beis HaMikdash. There's no question. There is something very lofty and spiritual and something to aspire to, which we zochet to. So I want to very quickly, I want to first discuss one other pshat, what reason for Karbanos are, and then again come to the main part of the shir. So you look at source number two, he says, the Parish Arush, Parish of Bayikra, he says, he quotes Kol Chach Yisrael, HaToranim, he says, explain that the reason for Karbanos is not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not eat, does not drink. He says, but the reason for our kaddish, but for Karbanos, is to give us a schus. What's the schus? He says, because when a person goes ahead and he sins and he has to bring a korban, and he knows that now, oh, he's naki from chait, that will make him more careful in the future. And therefore, he won't go ahead and he won't sin more afterwards. The point of the Karbanos is to realize, give a Jew the opportunity to realize I sinned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me an opportunity to come back, and now that I'm coming back, I can be more careful in the future. He says, and because a person, once he realizes his clothes are white, he's going to try to keep them white. So the point of the Karbanos is in order to make sure that a person goes ahead and watches behavior in the future. You know, I'll give an example. Today they say, I started doing this, if you have to walk outside, whatever reason, a person should put on gloves. Why? So a few reasons. One reason is because you have gloves on your hand, so then you'll be very careful not to touch your face, right? So the Karbanos, at a similar level, they would tell people, look, shake them up. You did a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm telling you to come clean again. Be careful. So the Karbanos are really in order to give, to go ahead and to give and to give the Jews a feeling that what they have to do is they have to go ahead and they have to be careful in the future. And that's why I would say even today it's important to say the Korbanot. No, and I would say that I'm not davening a minyan now. So one of the things I heard from Rav Asher Weiss was, you're not davening a minyan, daven slower. So therefore, even if I come late, I still have time for Korbanos. So I've been saying Korbanos every single day. I think it's very important. We should say Korbanos anyway, Michazal, because Mishal Parnas Vaseinu. But certainly now, when we're not limited by coming to minyan on time, again, to Yishtavach with the Tzibur, we should say Korbanos. And as the Rosh says, because when you say Korbanos, you realize you need Korbanos to keep you on the straight and narrow and to be careful in the future. And that was the point of Rosh according to the Rosh. So I want to speak about is the Korban Oath. And I think the Korban Oath is a very important Korban, and it really has tremendous ramifications, lessons to us today. You look at source number 3, Paragala Pasik, talking about the Korban Olah, and he says, if a person, if Torah gives choices, a person can bring a Korban Olah from a tzon, from a bakar. And the third choice is someone chooses to bring from a bird. It doesn't mean someone's poor. Someone chooses to bring a Korban Oath. So he says, so what is a Korban Oath? So the source number 4, so source number 3, it's either going to be tar or ben yonah, which would mean a turtle dove or a regular dove. So he says source number 4, a tar would have to be a mature tar, and a ben yonah would be still a chick, an infant, right? And not when it's already a gadol. And if you look at the last Rosh, source number 4, that each bird in Tchilas HaTziyuv is Aser, both birds. So what's going on, just very quickly to explain. So you have is when the bird comes out, when the bird is hatches from the egg, at that point, the bird is considered a katan, and then a ben yonah would be kshera for a korban, okay? The Torah would still be possible for a korban. And then after, there's no hair around its neck, and then at some point, the bird starts to grow here around its neck, gold here, yellow here. And he says at that point, that's called chilat hatsihur. And at that point, that's for like the middle stage. And then both birds are usher to be used as korbanot. And then once it gets covered with feathers, that's the stage of gatlus. And then the ben yonah, which is already possible, but is still possible. And the Torah now becomes kosher. Okay. So the question is, why were these birds chosen? And why was the Torah only chosen when it's a gadol? And why was the ben yonah not chosen when it was a katan? That's the views. He says, only when it's just hatched. If you look at Chizkuni, and the Ramban says the same thing, because what's about the Torah? What's special about the Torah? The Torah is a very special bird. The Torah has tremendous loyalty to its mate. He says, and even if its mate would die, the Torah is so loyal. He says, the Torah is so loyal. He says, won't match with somebody else. And for that reason, we're supposed to go ahead and we're supposed to be a korban of a Torah when it's a gadol, because we want to learn from the loyalty of this Torah, of this turtle dove. Now, whatever happens, the turtle dove is always loyal to its mate, and we are always loyal to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something that a Jew has to always know. It's very important to be extremely loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Torah. That's what I'm mocking the Torah. So why are we makriv from the Ben Yonah? The Ben Yonah were makriv because, so that's what he says, but Ben Yonah, not when it's big, because a Ben Yonah is not so loyal to its dove, to its mate. If its mate dies, it will find them. He says, so the question is, So why do we use it as a korban at all? We use it when it's young, when it still hasn't made it yet. Still hasn't made it yet. So the question, why are these two birds chosen? If you look at source number 5, the Chizkuni says, L'fish shtei ofot elu, redufim, they're chased more than other birds. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, yes, maybe the plight of the Jew until Mashiach comes, until the Geula, is we're going to be chased. Okay, and, you know, we can watch and follow what's going on. You know, is there a concern of anti-Semitism? I think there is a concern. A lot of people think it's a concern. We're always chased. That is our destiny until Mashiach comes. We're going to be chased. We're going to be a dufim. Okay, so that's the Chizkuni. If you look at the Ramban says something very similar. Now I want to focus on the Ramban. The Ramban says, why these two, Paragala Pasuk Yudalid, why these two Mimim? Because number one, he says, they're more easily found. Shehem Mitzuyinu Krovenli Papish Yoser. He says, they're easily found. Because Baruch Hu does not want to make, it's not difficult. It might be sometimes certain challenges, but we shouldn't feel like Yados is so difficult. And therefore, we have to bring Korbanot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to bring the Korbanot from the animals that are easily found. He says, now, he says, so why Torah Gedolim? So if you look at the Ramban, Bavur Prishutan V'Hadbakam V'Yadua Mehem. He says, they're so loyal to their mate, the Kavish Ben Zugo, Lo Yudbak V'Achar La'olam. And the Jewish people have to know that we cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't cling to anyone else. That's eternal. And then even though, and I'll speak about, we have Jews, unfortunately, that have gone off and have been lost. But the Jews as a whole are still here. It's amazing. Why? Because we follow we follow the idea. We're led by what, by something which the nature, the Torah does, that we're so well, we'll never leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll never leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jews have lasted until now. It's amazing. We're loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Torah is one of the birds. The Jews should know that we are supposed to be loyal and we'll always be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no question about that. I remember I once heard a story. It's a Jewish folk tale. You know, back in the old days, so the Ganavin, you know, every Jew, every town had every type of worker. Whether whatever they needed, and every town had a ganav too, a Jewish ganav. He had a Jewish ganav. So one time, the Jewish ganav made a mistake. He tried to steal something from the church, and he was caught. And they were about to go ahead, and they were going to kill him, hang him. And before they hung him, he said, "We'll give you a choice. If you want to save your life," he said, "Yeah." He says, "What do you want to be?" He said, "Listen," he says, "If you decide that you'll become a Christian, we'll save your life." See, he said, "Become a Christian. I might be a ganav, but a goy I'm not. I become a Christian." Jews always know they have to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea of the Torah. What's the idea of the Ben Yonah? And this is so important. So he says, the idea of the Ben Yonah, if you look three lines in the Banim, Avol Yonim Kanaim Ma'o, they get very upset. And he says, and he goes further than what the Chizkuni says. It's not just that if their mate dies, they'll find someone else. Uvikinatam Yipardu V'Yachlifu. They'll change their mates. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want us to take an older Yonah. Why not? Because we don't want, he says, we don't want to aspire to people who do that, the animals that would do that, to their traits. So only when they're young and they don't have mates, before they have a mate. He says, so the question is, so why do we take a Ben Yonah when it's young? He says, Ki Yonah b'katnuta, a Yonah when it's young, Us Tosefet Ava became Gidula Yosu Mishar Ofot, because it loves the nest where it grew up. It loves the nest where it grew up. So the reason why the Jews have to know that they have to always aspire to go back towards their nest. They have to go back towards their nest, and their nest people, our nest, is Yerushalayim and it's the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the message I feel, and I'll elaborate a little more about the Ben Yonah. Okay, that we, in other words, we have to go ahead and elaborate and aspire and cling and pine for the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we have to pine for. And you know, and just what how did I have this thought? I had this thought because when I was growing up, and I used to go to these day camps, there was a song going around. Someone told me in the show there's a Hebrew word for this tune also, but I'm sure many of you have heard it. You know, the little bird is calling, it wishes to return. And that's a song about the Jewish people that are calling. They want to go back home, like a little bird, and they're captured by the vulture. The vulture are our enemies, and we're waiting for the eagle to come and take us back to our home. And the eagle is Mashiach. And this is written by, actually, I looked up this year, this is written by a girl in Camp Venos, maybe in the late 40s, early 50s, the words were written in order to go ahead and, you know, you understand, it was definitely after the Shoah. It was after the Shoah. So for that reason, since it was after the Shoah, it was after the Shoah, And because it was after the Shoah, because it was after the Shoah, the Jewish people went ahead and they're very sad. So he wrote this song to really pick up, he says, to pick up people's spirits. The thing, where's the nest? Where's the nest? The nest is the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim. That's the nest. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael, but the nest is Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. That's the idea. He says that's returning to the nest. We have to go back to the nest. So question is, what's going on? What's going on is like this, okay? And this is what I think about this. We used to have shuls, okay? And let's explain what shuls are about, okay? So if you look, where did shuls come from? So it could be historically there were shuls since we came to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But we have to follow what's in the Tanakh. If you look at the Tanakh, the first record of a shul is when the Jews got to Babel. If you look at source number 7, Yecheskel Perek Yud Aleph, Pesukim Yud Aleph, through all the Pesukim. What's going on there? So it's the word of Hashem to Yecheskel saying. He says, Ben, so what happened? Remember, there were three exiles from Yerushalayim. And you had first, the first exile in the days of Yoachim, that the Harsha Maskir, the best and the finest, the Jews were taken from Eretz Yisrael to Babel in order to create a seaboard community for the Jews who exiled afterwards. And the Jews in Eretz Yisrael at that time were saying, if you look, the people in Eretz Yisrael are saying to the Jews in Babel, oh, you guys are already, you've been taken out of the land, you're not connected. Look at Pasuk Tzvah, Ben Adam, Achecha, Achicha, Chichu, Secha. Those who have been exiled, Kol Bei Yisrael, Kula, Shemar Lehem, Yoshu Shalayim. The people of Shalayim say, Rachu Me'al Hashem, Lano Hi Ninno, Erzul Rosha. The people who are in Babel have been distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We, the ones in Eretz Yisrael, we have the inheritance. They're not worth anything anymore. They're nothing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you think that this is a ludicrous claim, so I once heard Tron pointed out it was not ludicrous because this was the second time the Jews were exiled after Golus Mitzrayim, after Matan Torah, and it was a precedent. The first time the Jews were exiled, Aseret HaShvatim, according to Pashup Shat HaMikra, they were lost. Okay, if you look, they were lost. The Gemara in Yavamas tells us that there's a certain area someone wants to raise, that if a man from that area, a guy is Makadosh a girl, maybe you should be Choshev for Kedushin because they come from Eretz HaShvatim. And then the Gemara says, no, they lost the Kedushin of Yisrael. But they say in that area that Eretz HaShvatim came to, and they assimilated. They're parts of the Umas Olam, they were lost. See, here you have these Jews, the Choresh, the Maskar, coming to Babel. And how do they feel at that time? They feel horrible. Why do they feel horrible? They feel horrible because all of a sudden, they feel horrible. He said, maybe we'll also be lost. Who knows if our children, our grandchildren will be connected to Klal Yisrael. Who knows? And that's what the people are were saying. Yeah, you guys are finished. Rachu me'al Hashem. You know what to do. So what is he saying? Now, I'll just point out, yes, there are people who say some of the Seres HaShvatim came back. It's a chazal. In Masech Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, source number eight, it says there in source number eight that when they found the and have the Pesukim Malachim there also, when they went ahead and they found the Sefer Torah, Deis Yoshiyahu, and it was open to the Tochachos, the Musar, and what's going to happen? They read it, they were so concerned, they're looking for a Navi. So who they found? They found Chulda Neviyah. So the Gemara Megillah asked them, the Pesukim are there. So he says, so if you look at source number 9, Vachakam Beis Parech Hafet, Vachakam Beis Parech Hafet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lechud Dir Shosh Hashem. So what happened? He says, who did they go find? Pasuk Yud Dal, they found Chulda Neviyah. So the Gemara asked the Megillah, Chulda Neviyah, what happened to Yirmiyahu? How could she go and prophesy when there was Yirmiyahu there? What's the answer? The answer is Yirmiyahu was not there. Where was Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu went to bring back the remnants of the Seres HaShvatim. That some remnants of Seres HaShvatim. And what's the proof that they brought it back? Because Yirmiyahu gave Musar to Am Yisrael and said, soon there won't be a Yovel. Soon when land is sold to people, it will stay with the person that sold to. It won't revert. So Gemara asks, what do you mean soon? If the Seres HaShvatim have been exiled, that means there was no Yovel then either, because Yovel only kicks in if you have all the tribes in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, no, Yirmiyahu brought representatives of each tribe back to Eretz Yisrael. And in Ezra, the Tzedek Olam says that some of the Jews that came back were Jews from each Shevet that came back. You know, Rabbi Tam holds that way. That's why maybe there was Yovel of his mom by Yesheni. But according to the Pashup Shad of Mikra, certainly the Rov Minyan and Vinyan of the Sarah Shabbatim were lost. Yet there are legends, they're behind the Sabbatian. Mitzvah Shem, it should be true, but they were lost, it seems, from the Pesukim. So the Jews in Babel were very concerned. What's going to happen to us? How will we be identified of Am Yisrael? What's going to be the continuity? So you can go back to source number 7 over here for 1 minute. So what did Yecheskel tell them? Lachem, Pasuk to Zion, Lachem, Koamar Hashem, Elokim, Kirchatim, Bagodim, Mechiyachitosim, Baratzos. Don't worry. Ve'ilem, Mikdash Ma'at, I'll have a Mikdash Ma'at, and through the Mikdash Ma'at, you will connect to me. The Shul, and the Shul Baruch Hashem has kept Am Yisrael together. It's only because of the Shul, it's only because of the Bat Tikvah, the Bat Midrash, that Am Yisrael is still a nation today. And did such a good job that when they wanted to go ahead and they wanted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a call to Jews throughout the world to come back to Eretz Yisrael. The Jew says, who needs to go back to Eretz Yisrael? We have our shuls. Jews switched becoming a Beis HaMikdash oriented society to becoming a shul oriented society. And for that reason, Jews did not want to go back. And that's why no. But that's not our nest.
One second. He says, do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me? Okay, fine. Okay, that's not. Yeah, okay. That he says, so, okay, I'm sorry. So, where did you lose me? Just tell me when you lost me. What was the last thing I said?
Rav Chaim was beginning to talk about going back to our nest.
Oh, yeah, okay, so we have to go back to our nest. What's our nest? Our nest is the base of Mikdash. That's where we belong. You know, we're out of a shul and people are feeling, oh my gosh, there's no shul. I have to tell you, for me, it's the hardest thing in the world not to have a minyan. Okay? And I won't join a minyan because of low plug. But then if I see their minyan, I'm about talking about the medical issues, halachic issues. Are people happy? What are we aspiring to now? We're aspiring to go back to shul? Think about? We have to go back to our nest. Our nest is the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we should think about. As opposed to worrying, I want this man, I want that man, I want a Birkas Kohen. It's all important. But if we put the same tears and same concern about the Beis HaMikdash, I'm sure, we'll get back to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the idea. That's the idea of the kain, of the nest, coming back to the nest. And that's our Kodesh Baruch Hu. You just go down to the bottom of the page up here. That's the idea. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about going back to the nest, to having we have to see similar to the Ben Yonah. We always love our nest. I think I'm not here to say anything about what else is going on, the medical. What I'm saying is that if all people are thinking about is when we get back to shul, there's something missing. We have to realize that now we don't have our shuls. Maybe there's a message here. No, when it first started, someone said to me, not from our community, said, you know, it's probably because people don't take advantage of minyan. People are talking during davening. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, no, you got to stop talking during davening. You don't take shul so seriously. I think they're wrong. Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us, it's great you have the shuls. And you might have shuls after Beis HaMikdash also. But you have to want to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. That is the message here. So yes, we should daven. And we should daven that we have minyanim in future soon. We should daven we have a shul soon. But the most important thing is Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shaking us up and telling us the Beis HaMikdash, that's where you belong, and go back to your nest. The message of the Ben Yonah. I'm asking, we have to really think about this. I will finish off with this message. And the message is that, you know, I've mentioned the story many times in the past, but one time I was in a bookstore, okay? And I spent many summers in America. And a story, and the people who know me say I repeat this a lot. And And we're talking about, I didn't have a kinos with me. I left them all in America, and I don't want to spend money on another kinos with a perish. Why would I do that? Like, Mirtz Hashem, if I have real amuna, Mashiach is coming. Why would I spend money to buy an expensive kinos with a nation? And then I happened to be in a store, and I saw there was a masifta for 30 shekel paperback. I figured 30 shekels, I can, you know, I can splurge for 1 year. So I was telling somebody, why would someone spend 60 shekels on a hardcover when you could go ahead and you could spend 30 shekels on a soft cover for a kinos? And he said to me, you know what he said to me? He said, I'm not like you. I'm happy. I enjoy my yadus. He's very honest with me. But the problem was, they're very comfortable. And by the way, I'm not going to, it's scary. It's scary when we think about it, because what's going to happen? Our lives are going to change. All these halachas are to kick in. Who knows what's going to go on? Well, you know, how we're going to get there? How we're going to change our lives? And everything new is always scary. Remember once when I was in Camp Lavi for the summer, and I gave a rousing emotional speech before Eicha. And after Eicha, a boy comes over to me in high school. He's very upset. I said, what's the problem? He says to me, listen, he says to me. He says, I'm a little concerned because I like my school, I like my friends. I'm afraid what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. I guess I did a good job of sort of explaining like it can happen right away. And I said to him, you know what? Put him at ease. I said, I don't know what it's going to be. But we're told that when Mashiach comes, the shuls, shivas, everything's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. We'll have your school also in Eretz Yisrael. And the point is, I said, what exactly is going to happen? I don't know. But when Mashiach comes, it will all be good. Okay, I'm talking about Beis HaMikdash. I'm not talking about Mashiach, even though I believe the Rambam says the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. But one thing for sure, we have to go ahead and we have to aspire towards that. I have to tell you, I haven't started doing something about this yet, but I'm thinking about maybe there should be some learning of Hilchos Korban Pesach. We can still, I believe we can still build Bimach the Korban Pesach B'taro. I'm not talking about going on the Hara Bias with that group that does it every single year. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being ready that we should do it Barov Am and not being worried of people stopping us, doing it the right way. But the first step is to aspire and to start learning that. And that's the message. That is the message of the Yonah Ben Yonah that always wants to go back to his nest. And we Jews have to want to go back to our nest. And what's the nest? The shuls are important. Our houses are important. Yes, our Yisrael is part of the nest. But the real nest is Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash. All the Jews should take the message of the Torah and the Ben Yonah to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be loyal to the nest. And in Mirtz Hashem, the end of this whole pandemic should not just be just ending and going back to the shuls and the schools, but it should end in recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing our true nest and going back to the Beis HaMikdash. Anyways, everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, hopefully we'll hear some very good things. That we'll hear some very good things in the future.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shkoyach, thank you.
Shabbat shalom.